Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of The Ricardo Project. Before we get started, I just want to warn you, I had a very intense, you can hear it probably still, having a pretty intense allergic reaction to my cat. So this is what my voice sounds like. I'm not sick. I'm just really stuffed up because my cat was feeling snuggly and then I rubbed my eyes and it was a huge mistake and I have no regrets because he doesn't like me that much and he decided to love me tonight. So just wanted to let you know. I know I sound weird. Everything's fine. And I apologize if that affects your listening enjoyment. Thanks for being here. Call the New York Herald Times Tribune. It's the Ricardo Project. And today we're talking about episode 14 of season 2, Ricky Has Labor Pains. Hello, my beautiful Tropicanas. Welcome back to the Ricardo Project, the podcast where we watch through I Love Lucy episode by episode and talk about its historical, emotional, and comedic impact. My name is Dana, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. We are in the home stretch of pregnancy episodes. Today we are talking about season 2, episode 14, Ricky Has Labor Pains, which premiered 70 years ago in a few months. On January 5th, 1953. We're in the right year, at least now. We did it. So here's what happens in Ricky Has Labor Pains. We open with Ricky on the phone with Fred, and he's really excited for a boys' night at the apartment to watch the game. Or really, we kind of find out it seems to be like the middle of the day. So it's like a boys' afternoon, I guess, to watch the game. Seems like it might be a baseball game. Not that that's really relevant to the story, but, you know, I guess I had to put my Nancy Drew hat on. Anyway, Fred seems to be concerned that Lucy might be upset about everybody being at the apartment, but Ricky, very justifiably, I'll give him this, says that Lucy is having a baby. She's not falling apart. Seems like he's a very modern man sometimes, that Ricky. He hangs up and he starts warming up the TV and starts arranging chairs, and Lucy kind of comes in behind him without him seeing and she puts everything back. So Ricky falls to the ground when he tries to sit back down in his chair after adjusting the TV. It's a cute little physical comedy moment. Lucy apologizes and tells him that he can't watch TV in the apartment because the girls are coming over to throw her a baby shower. And Ricky acts like he's the baby that the shower is for because he gets super huffy and annoyed because this shower is going to get in the way of his day off. So I take back all that modern man crap that I said. This is not a good look for Ricky Ricardo. Lucy says that it's so nice that she's getting a surprise baby shower, which gives Ricky some pause, but Lucy says that all the girls told her that it was a surprise that she would actually be ready. Very, very funny. And very me. My friends always joke that I'm like impossible to surprise because like I really want to be surprised, but I like can't help myself. I'm the person who has the Wikipedia page up for the TV episode that I'm watching while I'm watching it. Like I can't. I'm just a spoiler. So Ricky goes into the bedroom and we get this real funny pregnancy comedy where Lucy drops something and she has to figure out a way to get low enough to pick it up. And she tries all these different ways. My favorite is when she like tries to get a running start. Like she backs up and kind of runs and tries to get low and it just doesn't work. She finally gets it. Then she's stuck down. Ricky has to help her up. It's a delight. I know I say this every week, but the show is just so excellent at taking the recognizable and just turning it into comedy gold. It did this before the pregnancy episodes. And I think in the pregnancy series, it's doing an excellent job. It's also the most overt pregnancy signaling that we get, like at least so far. There's really like, we know Lucy's having a baby, but this is kind of the first time that it's like, no, like her body is changing. Cause like, she's always wearing these loose tops. So this is the first time that we're like, oh, her body is growing a person, if that makes any sense. Anyway, Ricky insists that she sit in the good chair and take a rest. Lucy says that that's a great chair, but she can't get out of it. And he promises that he'll help her get up. So she sinks in. She's having a great time. She's asking Ricky to do a couple things around the house, which apparently are very hurtful to him, but he does them. The phone rings, and we get another great physical comedy bit of Lucy trying to figure out getting out of the chair to answer it. And after great effort, she answers, and it's just a telemarketer. And Ricky comes back in, and Lucy tells him it's time for him to go because the shower is about to start. And Ricky asks, what's he supposed to do about lunch? Lucy says there isn't time. And she says, I forgot all about you, which is kind of funny. I mean, just because Ricky gets all self-pitying and he's like, that's been happening a lot lately. And right when they're about to like maybe solve it, the buzzer rings and Lucy kind of shuffles him out so that she can have her shower. And they get all these cute little toys and clothes. It's really cute. Ricky comes back afterwards and he asks if dinner is ready, which like, Ricky, use your critical thinking skills. Like, she just had a shower. How could dinner possibly be ready? Come on. But he does. And Lucy, again, forgot. Fred comes in. He says that Ricky made Winchell's column. More about that in the historical notes. It's a big heckin' deal. This is the gist for now. But the line actually says, and I quote, Carrot Top Lucy Ricardo, formerly Lucy McGillicuddy, currently one of show business's most beautiful wives, is infanticipating, which is my new favorite way to say pregnant. And then it says, her husband is the band leader. Everyone is thrilled with this. It's so cute. Ricky is all deflated, of course. The girls are all abuzz. They want to make a little scrapbook for the baby. So cute. And Ricky gets all obsessive over his dinner and he starts doing this little fake conversation as both himself and Lucy. It's childish. It's overdramatic. It is kind of funny, but it's really annoying. Lucy sasses him. She says she's going to go make some roast beef for him. The Merces leave. And Lucy comes out with a raw piece of meat. Because, again, she forgot. She offers him a fried egg sandwich. He pouts while Lucy says that her day was so busy. And she shows him her to-do list. But that doesn't really help her cause because the only thing that she did on that list was buy said roast beef, which she didn't cook. So Ricky has to go pick up his own laundry. I mean, what a crime against humanity. But, you know, this is Ricky Ricardo. He's logical. So, of course, the next day he's in bed completely sick. The doctor has actually made a house call. Lucy says that he's nauseated, he's dizzy, his stomach pains every few minutes. The doctor asks to speak with Ricky alone, and he asks if he's been feeling neglected because he's mimicking pregnancy symptoms. And Ricky pretends that he's not upset, even though he's spent the entire episode being upset and a brat. So the doctor drops it, but then he goes and tells Lucy that he's acting out because he needs attention. And the doctor says that if they can make Ricky the center of attention, the troubles would be over. So Lucy and Ethel decide they're going to throw him a daddy shower. It's a baby shower for dads, I guess, a daddy shower. It's cute. They ask Fred to do it. The men are going to come and give Ricky presents for the baby. Fred immediately says yes. The girls are thrilled, and Fred refers to it as a stag party, and that kind of like throws up a red flag for them, and they decide they need to dress as men and check out what's going on. So it's the day of the party. Ricky is in a much better mood. He's just hung up with a reporter who's going to cover the daddy shower. The guys all show up and they put their presents on the gift table. Every single one of them has brought a bottle of beer, which is a very funny sight gag. Ricky takes it so seriously. He's earnestly thrilled and a callback to the girls looking at the baby gifts earlier in the episode. It's a nice, like, you know, kind of 1-2. And just then the reporter that Ricky talked to and the photographer come in and la-di-da. It's Lucy and Ethel in drag, and they've got big mustaches and suits. Ricky recognizes them immediately, and he whispers to Jerry and Fred to, like, come up with a little scheme to, like, make it all seem very crass. And Lucy gets really uncomfortable really quickly. She tries to take a picture to, like, stop kind of a crass story from being told. And she gets the flash from the old-timey camera, like, right in her eye. And so she can't see. And they try to leave. And then Ricky, you know, says, like, oh, we know it's you. They all have a good laugh. It's very, like, easy peasy, nice resolution. But we get a little button scene where Lucy's in bed and Ricky is tumbling in because apparently it's 4 a.m. And it is the wintertime. And she's had a pregnancy craving. It's pistachio ice cream, hot fudge, and sardines. She eats it very happily. Ricky is completely disgusted, as any sane person would be. And Lucy casually says, while they're just like chatting and kind of wrapping up the scene, that she's surprised he didn't get any cravings when he was sick from not getting enough attention. And Ricky suddenly realizes that that's why he got the party. That's why everything happened in the whole episode, because everybody thought that he was being a needy little brat, which again, he was. But it makes him feel sick again. And then suddenly he looks at the sardines and the ice cream and he thinks it looks pretty good. And the episode ends with him forcing like a huge spoonful of pistachio ice cream, hot fudge, and sardines into his mouth. So that's it. I'm sure you can tell, but this episode really annoyed me. It truly bothered me that Ricky was being such a brat the second he wasn't the star of the family. Like, Lucy is growing a person. Let her have this. But I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to try really hard to look at the positive, because I think it's pretty obvious from a 2023 lens that, like, Ricky does not come off looking good in this episode. So I'm going to try to, like, really focus on, like, what I think is good about this episode. And I do think the episode was an effort towards showing Ricky's, like, side of things. It's just, like, a very 50s lens of that. And I think they do it much more successfully in a couple episodes than Lucy Gives Birth, which is, like, funnier, more sympathetic, and, like, does a better job of representing, I think it's just a more timeless version of, like, what an expectant father might be going through. And it also seems like there's, like, an unspoken rule in the writer's room that every fifth episode of I Love Lucy or so has to be Ricky-centered. So, like, I get they felt like they kind of had to do this. And I also want to hold space for the fact that this premise is so obnoxious to me that I wonder if I didn't really give the episode a fair shake because I was, like, immediately turned off by Ricky's behavior. So I'm going to strip myself of my biases, and I'm going to focus on what's literally happening in the episode. And when I do that, there's actually a lot of credit to be given that no one ever sits Lucy down and is like, well, Lucy, you've been pretty selfish, haven't you? The doctor doesn't say, like, a lot of mothers really forget about their husbands when they're pregnant. There's none of that. She never apologizes or even promises to focus on Ricky instead of her pregnancy or even to pay him more attention. She sees there's a problem to be solved. Everyone, including the doctor, says it's because Ricky has made himself sick from being a little needy boy. So she indulges the need without throwing herself under the bus in the process. And when you look at it like that, it's, like, actually a very well-calibrated episode. Do I wish the episode was a different premise? Yeah, I do. I do. But they did the very best they could with the premise that they picked. I think there's a lot of super funny moments. I love the scene at the daddy shower. I love the craving scenes. I do love whenever Lucy is the straight man and she gets to drive the comedy in a different way. And I do think this episode does a cool and a pretty unique job, actually. I can't really think of another opportunity, another episode where this has happened so cleanly. But she starts as the straight man position and she flips halfway through so she can do her physical comedy. And I think they do a really good job of that. None of it seems kind of like too big of a pivot. And then, taking a day or two, what stuck with me about this episode was the doctor's kind of ending line in his scene where he says to Lucy that if they can make Ricky the center of attention, her troubles would be over. Because isn't that kind of the point of I Love Lucy or the true central relational conflict? Ricky is in a world where he's supposed to be the center of attention by all, you know, accounts. This is a man's world. He has the money, the career, the power, the talent, to be very honest. He has talent, where Lucy Ricardo doesn't. But Lucy is the star. Lucy is the show. And I know I'm getting a little meta there, right? Because I'm talking about Ricky Ricardo, and then I'm talking about, like, the way the show is structured, right? It's like Ricky Ricardo is a person living in the world. And when I'm talking about Lucy in this context, I'm talking about, like, the way the show structures her. But stick with me. Because if Lucy Ricardo would fulfill her, you know, quote unquote, womanly responsibility that the I want a wife who's just a wife statement Ricky makes very early in the series, and I think he makes it in the pilot, actually, her troubles would in fact be over. If she would play along with the roles that are prescribed to her, she wouldn't be climbing uphill all the time and getting into trouble. But then the show wouldn't exist. You know, Ricky's ideal world is one in which I Love Lucy doesn't exist because he's doing great. She's supporting him. He's the center of attention and she's the best supporting actress. But even so, at the denouement, when Lucy makes a fool of herself / the center of attention by crashing the shower, Ricky can't help but laugh. And is it because he can feel superior or because he simply can't be immune to her star power and her charm anymore? I honestly don't know. I'm a little afraid it's the former. My guess, my most educated guess, is that it's like a little bit of both. But either way, it's really interesting to think of all these kind of meta layers upon layers upon layers that are happening, where we have the literal of the world that's been created, and then we have kind of the power dynamics of the performers in the show, and then we have the actual relationship underneath it. Like, there's so much happening here when you really start to strip things away and think about it. I Love Lucy is such a meta show that it's really interesting to dig into this. And I mean, I really didn't expect an episode that made me like so agitated with a capital A to make me really like think about the dynamics of this couple, both on our TV and off our TV, and how those two relationships really intertwined to make this really amazing casserole of a show. So that's my take on it. Let's get to some historical notes. So when Lucy's sitting in the comfy chair, she's reading a McCall's magazine, which actually that issue had an article about I Love Lucy that Desi Arnaz wrote. The pistachio ice cream at the very end was actually mashed potatoes. The hot fudge was gravy. The sardines were real. Apparently Lucy hated sardines, but she took care of it and forced them down. And when the scene was over, apparently Lucille Ball threw those sardines up, which is wild to me. And then finally, a fun little historical thing. So the newspaper article that says that Lucy is infanticipating, a real fun way to say pregnant again, was written by Walter Winchell. And Walter Winchell was this really interesting pop culture character. So he was a gossip columnist and a news commentator. He was originally a performer. He actually kind of looks like Steve Martin. If you look at pictures of him, he looks a little bit like Steve Martin. Had a very interesting and controversial life. He's kind of most notable, actually, for two things. The first is that he was relatively friendly with Josephine Baker, the incredible black performer who never performed for segregated audiences, and she criticized Walter Winchell for being quietly supportive, at least in a sense of being complicit with a club that had kind of outdated policies and was segregating their audiences. And Winchell took that very personally, and he accused her of communism, which in the 50s was an incredibly dangerous thing to do, as any fan of I Love Lucy will probably know, considering that Lucille Ball was accused of being a communist. And he really damaged her reputation, and he really went after her. It was a huge moral failing on his part. It was not positively responded to. It did not work well. Josephine Baker was basically forced to leave the country and go back to France, which she was an expat. She lived in France. And it took about a decade for her to be allowed back in the country. And this was all kind of a result of the attacks that Walter Winchell launched on her. It is a horrific blight on his reputation. And the second blight on his reputation is that in the 50s, he ended up really on the wrong side of history because he became a huge denouncer of communism, which if you're not interested in and you don't believe in communism, I mean, that's an understandable political take. But he became a huge ally to Joseph McCarthy, the senator who really went after people and was kind of doing not to go all Arthur Miller in the Crucible, but was really making the communists, the Red Scare, a witch hunt against anyone who made him even remotely nervous, which is how Lucille Ball, and we'll go over this kind of when the time comes, but that's how Lucille Ball got accused of communism. She was a registered but non-active member of the Communist Party, and, luckily she was able to avoid that, you know, causing serious damage, but that was a result of the Red Scare, this kind of like hunting down of anyone who had communist ties or anyone who was rumored to have communist ties. So Walter Winchell could have an incredible reputation. I mean, he was a huge part of the news media and the pop culture media, but he had horrible takes and just doesn't seem to have been a very good guy. But it seems like he almost took a turn because a lot of this started happening in the 50s. And before that, I mean, he was very actively vocal in supporting the New Deal. He was very actively vocal in criticizing anyone who didn't take a staunch position against Nazism. I mean, he had so much good in him, and then it just turned. So very interesting person. I'd love to talk more about him. If anybody's interested, I'd be happy to do a bonus episode on him. Let me know. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, we're watching one of my all-time favorites, Lucy Becomes a Sculptress, which here's the log line for that. Lucy feels that her child should grow up with artistic influence, so she takes up sculpting. But things go south when Ricky arranges for an art critic to arrive and judge her work. And that's it. Stick around through the outro to take a listen to all the ways that you can support this podcast. Most important is rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, I'm about to go through a lot of ways that you can do that. Go ahead and roll the outro. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to The Ricardo Project. It means more to me than you know. If you would like to get in touch for any reason whatsoever, I would absolutely love to hear from you. You can reach me on Instagram at The Ricardo Project or by email at TheRicardoProject@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show financially, there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can buy minimalistic I Love Lucy merch. You can go to our bookshop link and buy any of the books that are in that bookshop, and I will get a small commission, and you'll get a book that you really love, and you'll support a local bookstore. You can also leave me a one-time tip on PayPal if you would so like. And if you're interested in a Patreon, let me know, and I'll start one. Again, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts and telling a friend about it. That is the number one way you can support the show. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next Thursday for Lucy Becomes a Sculptress.